Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and can Adobe not shit its pants for 5 fucking minutes with bad business decisions? Ugh. And with me, I have...
Charlotte slammed with 11 inches. Weather headline or Pornhub video? You make the call!
And...
Everything sucks now. So a cheesecake with no baked cheesecake filling, biscuit cookies, and strawberry filling don't sound so bad right now.
Yeah, I see you've also been on a food talk, as the kids call it.
Yeah, that just shows up. Yeah, that doesn't show everywhere. It's like, I want to try it, but it's like, everybody buying off that no baked cheesecake stuff and biscuit. Biscuit cookies, which I only had that butter on it, like the cookie butter once, which I thought was good, but I never had that actual fucking cookie. But yeah, it's anywhere. It's like damn.
I mean, Biscoff cookies are okay. I just know it as that stuff they give you by default on an airplane sometimes. Is it all airplane? It might depend on the airline. Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. I think from what I heard, it's like a cookie you don't eat a la carte. It's like if you pair it up with something, it's like there you go.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a Hershey bar. It's like you eat it with s'mores or with anything else, but not by itself. Maybe by itself maybe if it's like trick or treat and stuff, but by itself, I don't know if you like it, that's one thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no hate to it, but like I'm just kinda looking at it like, can I just get a real cheesecake, though?
Ugh.
But that's just me, how I am with a lot of these food hacks. Like, I could just get the actual thing. But this isn't a TikTok food talk podcast. And it probably won't be. Ha! Huh, you thought I was going to go somewhere with that. But here we are, episode 421, that is. How's everyone dealing with the frigid winds?
Just barely. It's been very, very cold, and as mentioned at the very start, 11 inches of snow!
Yeah.
I have lived here for 21 years. I have never seen that much snow fall in just one day, from 4 a.m. to like... midnight or whenever it stopped. It just kept coming and coming and coming, and it was not fun being outside in the cold, either in the morning after where it was like 10 degrees or the morning after that where it was also like 10 degrees with wind chills of zero, or outside ankle deep in snow. How do you all live like this? All you people who live in these cold climates, is it by choice? Because if so, I commend you for committing to living in such cold, snowy, icy areas. I stayed at my work all weekend long because there's no way in hell I am driving in any of this. Like, people here in my city can barely drive on dry roads, let alone with snow and ice and everything. None of these people know what four-wheel drive is. I wouldn't trust them to drive, you know, four-wheel, all-wheel drive. Not the way they drive around here, like a bunch of fucking assholes. God. Yeah, it's been very cold. I'm done with winter now. I got my fill. Go away and don't come back for, like, a year. Once a year, I'm good with it, but no more.
But Alex, didn't you hear? That stupid fucking groundhog saw his goddamn shadow!
Oh, yeah, Phil. I grow tired of Phil. And a different Phil, but for different reasons altogether.
That fucking... this animal, yeah. Is so bad.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not here in the document because we're not going to give it that much attention, but I watched the Grammys, because what else was I going to do? Snowed in, eating frozen food, because that's all I had on me. Good show. Not a great show, but a very good show. Good performances. They had fantastic 20-minute tribute performance section. Yeah, Reba McEntire and Brandi Carlile doing, the more, somber tributes. You had an Ozzy tribute with Slash, Duff McKagan, Chad Smith, Andrew Watt, and Post Malone. Thankfully, it was good. And then you had, the big, grandiose 11-minute long mega tributes for D'Angelo and Roberta Flack from Lauryn Hill featuring everyone. Quite literally everyone. You had folks like Jon Batiste there, Chaka Khan, John Legend, Charlotte's own Anthony Hamilton. Love seeing him, and many, 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 many more.
That was the biggest. I mean, that was the biggest thing I saw on the stage that night.
Yeah. And it's also the blackest thing CBS will ever air on their network ever again.
Yeah. That's it. What about that?
Yeah, that network is a fucking mess. Oh, and in the awards section, wild cards. There were some wild cards afoot. Song of the Year, Billie Eilish. Record of the Year, Kendrick Lamar and SZA. And Album of the Year, Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah, I admit I was disappointed at first, but then I realized, I thought, I'll give it to Bad Bunny. He looks something like he wanted. Like, you know what? No, I'm going to give it to you. There you go, Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Good luck on that. Good luck on Super Bowl coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm. We will be watching, and we'll be laughing at people who are getting mad at it for very dumb reasons.
Dumb and racist reasons.
Yeah, unfortunately. Ugh. Yeah. Also, the premiere ceremony thing, the actual award show that you first. Once again, very good. Spirit Box. They did a fantastic performance during that show. Soft Spine. Wasn't expecting it. Loved hearing it. Then they gave the metal Grammy to fucking Turnstile.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it. I had to say, don't say Turnstile. Don't say Turnstile. They said Turnstile. Like, shit.
You see, Mark, the problem is you said don't stay turn. You were setting yourself up for that, like a bad sitcom punchline.
I didn't mean to listen.
They never think they're listening, and then they get you.
Yeah. Also, yeah, unfortunately for us, our salty selves, Turnstile did win 2 of 5 awards that were nominated for. The other three were Nine Inch Nails and The Cure winning, so that's cool. And, I also didn't watch it on CBS. I watched it on HBO Max because they air it on there in Mexico, and I got a VPN hookup, so I watched it there, and I got to hear all of the F-bombs, all three of them, including one from Cher, who was a hot mess in all the best ways. And in closing, Luther Vandross.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me that I gotta get a VPN at some point. Because,
yes, you should.
From seeing everything through tweets, it's like, there's some stuff I do want to watch, but all I see on, for example, YouTube is that whole premiere ceremony and not, the actual show. I don't even know where you stream it, here in the fucking States or whatever.
Yeah, you look around, you'll find cool stuff that all these platforms have that we don't overhear because all those pesky contracts. Ugh.
Maybe every single YouTube sponsorship ever was actually onto something.
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't matter which one you get, they all work the same.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Mark, what about you?
Let's go on this Grammy thing. Well, I'm gonna give my set. So, yeah, Sinners won 2 awards. Best Sound Compilation and Best Score. Another way from Luca Ransom. And speaking of nominations, hey, it got 16 Oscar nominations. I say don't fuck it up, Oscars, but you're gonna fuck it up. Yeah. And oh, and okay, and also also on other awards, yeah, for that category, yeah, Kendrick pretty much sweeped it. I mean, he won from a lot of early forms for Luther. He won, I want to say, best performance with TV Off, and of course, the next one for a rap album. However, Clips did not go home empty-handed. They won for best rap song for Clips and Chains with Kendrick Lamar. So, yeah, I mean, I know you're thinking, but what about Tyler? He did win one award, best album cover. Oh, speaking of which, Tyler, the performance was pretty wild as shit. It's pretty good. Especially him basically killing off his characters. Well, his character, which, yeah, people, which, okay. All right, that's some good shit. Also, on the Best New Artist showcase thing, when I was watching that shit, and, yeah, me and Alex had the same thought of one segment. Going from Deion Thomas to Alex Warren is like going from a spicy hot steak to a cold ass ham sandwich. At least that's my fault. It's like, really? Okay. Like you do for that my soul of fucking Deion Thomas to just that fucking song. And of course, some will go to like, okay, maybe Olivia Dean don't sound so bad now. Like, okay, she sounds, that's kind of good. You know what? You know, she, okay, good that she won. Like, all right, I keep looking for her. On the other ones, okay, Maria's, they sound decent. Acid Ray is Diatronic XCX or Charlie XCX Zero. I'm just gonna call it that.
Yeah.
Cat's Eye, I mean, okay. Lola Young, who, oh yeah, that's right. That's the other upset. She actually won for best pop. So I know she won for something.
She won for Messy, and she did drop an F bomb in her acceptance speech because she wasn't expecting it, and that wasn't caught on CBS. They messed it up, so that went out to all the airwaves. It was quite funny.
And I say, like, it was a decent Grammys, even though Grammys, like, okay, I will say, if I have to rate my favorite performances, the D'Angelo tribute would be first, Tyler would be second, third might be the Clips one, since that's near the end, and that's on a song that's like, that's sort of decent, but okay, not my favorites, but oh, okay. And okay, that's all got from Grammy's talk. As for the rest of my nigga Woods, it's just cold. It's cold as shit. It's like, it's basically, it ain't snow, it's just cold ass weather. It's fucking cold. I mean, no ice formed. Well, not the ice you're thinking of, or maybe it's ice you're thinking of, but let's go with that. Let's say some ice did happen, but not the one you're thinking of. But also, I will end this on a note. Hey, do you remember that pilot from last year? Pretty, pretty please, I don't want to be a magical girl.
Yep.
That got second automatic recently.
Hey.
And then it said, this will be fully animated. Which, hooray! Which, yay! Because I like that show. I like this show. You support it. It's Black History Month, motherfuckers. Support the Black creators. Especially you two. I mean, that's all I got right now, because, yeah.
Alright, cool. As for me, well, first of all, as far as the weather on my side, there were, freeze warnings in the area, and, the best way I could describe it, apart from making jokes about fucking iguanas falling out of the trees, I got in my car on Sunday, and the dash gave me an icy roads warning. And my immediate reaction was, wait, you can do that? I didn't know this car could say that. This is Florida. I didn't know cars were allowed to have that option of warning. Man, technology is amazing. But also, fuck this weather. You know what makes it even worse is that the window in my bedroom is a little bit fucked, as in it's just ajar enough that a bit of the cold wind seeps in.
Ew.
I have the ceiling fan completely off right now, and I still definitely feel a bit of like 50 degree chill. Good thing I have two blankets in here. Anyway, as far as watching things, like I said, I didn't have access to like a proper Grammys broadcast, so again, I'll have to invest in a VPN and search elsewhere. But a couple things. One, I saw this one movie that seems to be the talk of the internet and the internet horror scene these days, that being Iron Lung. Because, I mean, naturally I'm going to hear about it when you live in a house full of Markiplier stands. I mean, he seems like a cool dude. I just never watched his videos, like, religiously or anything. But I am a fan of interesting horror movies, and that was a really interesting, pretty well done horror movie, I will say. Definitely has got some roughness in spots, mostly just some writing and a few pacing things, but otherwise, solidly well acted. The set design is impressive. The climax is fucking soaked in blood and viscera, and pretty much exactly the way you'd expect out of, like, say, a classic Sam Raimi movie. By the way, that's another movie I need to watch. And it's also got some pretty good music. Like I smiled the second that the name Andrew Holschultz came up in the credits. I smiled. Because that's a name you might be familiar with if you're really big on, like, Doom. Because he's got, like, some Doom cover soundtracks. And he was even the one that did the music for the Doom Eternal Ancient Gods DLC. Which, much as I'm still pissed off at id Software for fucking over Mick Gordon, I will say he did great music for that DLC. But, yeah. Pretty solid movie. Good on Mr. Fishbach. As for other things, I decided to finally get around to season one of Ted, which is easily the single best thing that this franchise has ever produced. I'm not even saying that sarcastically. Like, I liked the first movie, but the show is just, oh man, it's just so much fun. Like, it's the best kind of stupid humor with actually kind of decent character writing. Like, okay, I will freely admit, I got lightheaded at the image of Ted bursting out of a case of hot dogs going, I'm the king of the weenish! Because I'm 12 years old. But, like, honestly, there was good stuff. Like, Blair Bennett, like, you know, the stereotypical college liberals, like, easily in the top five of, like, best characters in any Seth MacFarlane thing. Like, imagine Haley with, like, more emotional nuance. And the season finale has fucking John trying to, like, bond, like, trying to, you know, date this girl at his school that he thinks is really cute. And the second they actually start bonding over their shared love of Flash Gordon, I'm like, that's my boy! You go, man! Just, maybe chill out on the weed. We don't need you reading conspiracy theories on Oreo cookies. But yeah, pretty fun show. I'm, looking forward to season two next month. Is there anything else? No, I think that's about everything on my end. So, let's move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars, pick up new tunes for your playlist, and all of that fun jazz. So, let's start right here at the top with Christine and the Queens. Wait, they changed their name again?
I guess. I mean, I guess first he went for him. I guess, yeah. I thought he was still going with right him red card, but I guess I'm not going under his Christine Queen's monitor again. But okay. But anyway, so yeah, it's been just some very big for them, and they got a single, you know, called Aya with The feature cover D Diane, which it's D, like, okay, D Diane. Okay, and I will say this, like, the song sounds a bit, it sounds pretty good, to be honest. Like, it's very short. It does have more of the voices working, like, especially from, you know, from Christine and Dee Diane, which, it does have that. I want to say, like, not house feeling, but more, the ambient house feeling from 5-1 get from them. It's like, okay, this track sounds pretty all right. Like, I don't know when the next album is going to come out, but it sounds awfully decent. Like, I can definitely listen to it. But I listened to it, was like, okay.
Yeah, not bad. That music video is definitely a vibe, though. But let's move on to the next track here. So, Skindred's still a thing. You know, sometimes I forget that. Like, I remember being aware of them at least as far back as, what was it, Need for Speed Underground Rivals on the PSP? And it's 20-some years later. Actually, maybe 20 on the dot. It's like, huh, they're still around. So, looks like they got a new album scheduled for April 17th called You Got This. And we have the lead-off single here, This Is The Sound. And, you know, I remember when this band's music had the sauce. And I can tell you that exact year, it was 2014's Kill the Power. But sadly, this is really indicative of the downturn their music's kind of taken on recent records. Like, on the off chance you've never heard of this band before, their main thing is they definitely play a lot of, like, very stereotypically 2000s nu metal, but it does have a lot of bombastic reggae edge and influence, which most of that mainly comes from, like, the vocals of their frontman Benji Webb, and it does go quite a way for, like, adding a lot of distinctness. Like, you know, it gives a distinct character to a lot of the grooves and, you know, their songwriting overall, but this is just kind of the most basic 2020s nu metal radio shit possible. Like, it's just super stock grooves, the song structure is basic, and when the chorus says, this the sound that make you go crazy, bullshit, no it does not. How dare you lie to me, miscellaneous singer whose name I forgot to jot down in my notes.
Well, I guess this sort of says more about me than them, because I don't really follow this band. But all I hear from Benji Webb is just his feature on the Bullet for My Valentine song, Take It Out on Me, which was back in 2008. So, yeah, Skindred. Now, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Anyway, from what I can gather from this song, certainly does indeed have the type of sound that makes the individual members of Skindred and people around them, and I quote, go crazy. And that's all I can really say about that. It's 3 minutes of riffs and honestly kind of annoying vocals. But I mean, it's fine for their style of reggae-infused metalcore, I guess you can say. As expected, from a band from Wales.
Yeah. Those were simpler times, the 2000s. But
they certainly were.
Moving on to the next track here. So, the last time that we had ever heard any material from the Massachusetts hardcore band A Wilhelm Scream was the 2022 record Lose Your Delusion, which, for the record, fucking rules. Also, it makes me kind of sad thinking about it, because the only reason I know about this band is from seeing tweets by a sadly now deceased Anime News Network writer. R.I.P. Lost Thief. But, looks like the band has a new album set for February 27th, so later on this month, called Cheap Heat. We have the latest single from the record here, Let It Ride. And like with a lot of the band's material, it just has a really great energy to it. Like, it comes ripping out of the gate with a lot of really sharp guitar tones, belting out these energetic punk riffs, tremolos, and D-beats, quickly shifting. It kind of shifts back and forth between that and, like, this sort of 3-4 tempo groove. A lot of tom, you know, fills, and also a lot of gang vocals. Like, the vocal dynamic tends to tag off a lot between the lead and basically anyone else in the band doing backing vocals. Also, some of those filling grooves have some really cool guitar taps and sweeps going on. It adds a really, you know, unique sound to the overall feeling, especially when you dig into the lyrics, which more or less are about kind of like, you know, finding the will to live it up in life when it seems like the entire world has it out for you and wants you to be the villain. You know, with that whole, that title pretty much being like a gambling metaphor, like, man, just let it fucking ride. Pretty damn good shit. I cannot wait for the 27th.
The line, "While you've been playing solitaire, I inspire lumineers." Hit the not a rhyme button, Todd. Not a rhyme. I don't know if that's lyrical genius or one of the worst lines I've heard in a long while. I know that makes me sound mean, but that's just how I feel. The music is solid, a bit thin sounding in the mix, but the lyrics are, oh god, like, I mean, just look up any amount of hardcore punk cliches and you'll find them in this song.
I see we are a house divided on this subject.
Yeah, like, also, there's something in the song about punks and, like, what year is this?
Do you want me to give you the real answer or lie to you?
I really don't care either way.
1847.
Don't know what that means, but whatever.
Neither do I, but I'd probably rather be living there than 2026. But that's enough venting anxieties about how much everything is on fire. But let's move on to a different kind of fire with this next track here. You know, I feel like it's been a bit since we've heard, you know, studio material from Denzel Curry. Hey, Mark, you know if he's got anything cooking?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so apparently he got a collective called The Scythe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The Scythe. I mean, you got a bunch of motherfuckers in there. I want to say a mixtape. They call it Strictly for the Scythe, which is basically sort of like similar to, you know, the last time he did the King of the Mysterious South Volume 2, which is sort of what I get from here. And also get this concept. Comes in at March, so next month, the sixth. Anyway, we got a joint called Lit Effect, which features Buck the Ruler and Laser Tim 700.
Man, I feel like people are stretching for rap names these days.
But we'll say. So that's your question. Is this the shit that make you sound crazy? Is this shit that make you go crazy?
Way more than fucking Skindred, I can say that much.
There you go. Yeah, this is some fucking shit. Even if on a Laser Dimms verse, which is basically saying, okay, well, we didn't say much, but he did this while he said, they said, now I'm talking like an elephant, nigga, and an emotion, nigga, relevant, like a hangman, nigga, I'm too lit for that. On the net, popping, I'm not with that. Nigga too rich, having fake racks. Nigga too white, he drinking 8-pack. All right, I get those lines. Then when D-Zook got on the mic, he said, I'm making something, that reason why they hate or something. I can think you get no dough. You talking on the internet, you broke. How niggas say I scare hoes? These niggas don't got hoes. I think we expect some bangers, because we get some bangers, and the track list is, well, not much. It's like only like 8 tracks in here, and you got people from his past, possibly the Raider Clan, from Kenyatta, and ASAP Ferg or just Ferg. I don't know what he calls himself now. I think people like Juicy J, Shmino, 4454, Le Tyler, Rich the Kid, not 1-900 Rugrat, and Sad Boy.
Again, are we really running this low on rap names?
But yeah, all I can say is, this track's pretty dope. Like, if it's just doing, if it's just doing bangers, then I'm good with that. It's hard and give us only 8 tracks. That's all good. Like, it ain't doing too much. It ain't doing too little. Just the right amount. Well, I don't know the time. I don't know what the length of it is. By now, but it should be good. But it should be all good, right? Maybe we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But yeah, I can dig this. It's got the same kind of low key intensity that you got a lot through King of the Mischievous South Volume 2. Seriously, the Laser Dim 700. I feel like at some point we're gonna get rap names that are just like phone numbers from infomercials. Like, hey, we got the hottest new mixtape from 1-800 JG Wentworth. Oh god. But now we have to move on to the final track here, and well, I choose to believe that our various comments have somehow willed this into the ether, but it looks like we finally have a release date for the newest release from Thundercat. It is titled Distracted, and it's due out April 3rd. As always, it's coming out on Brainfeeder, and the track list confirms guest contributions from the likes of Tame Impala, the late Mac Miller, ASAP Rocky, which I guess makes sense, he was on that last ASAP Rocky record, Channel Tress, and even Willow.
Oh, interesting. And okay, it was a checklist. You had the song from last time, I Wish I Didn't Waste Your Time, is on that album. And also, since you mentioned Tampon, no more lies on there too. So, those two make the cut. Sadly, not the what's the other one he did? Children of the Potato.
Yeah, the shit. God, what was their name? Remy Wave.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that didn't make the cut. Which, I mean, well, that's damn, but. I didn't like those last two tracks he did, but yeah. So anyway, so a new single with the title "I Did This to Myself." Damn. And it features Little Yachty, who I don't know the question when I say either. Okay, it's like Little Yachty. I mean, we've been talking about him for the past 10 years. Holy
shit. It is the three words that we've come to loathe on this show for many a reason. Featuring Lil Yachty. We have been burned one too many times before.
That phrase is my sleep paralysis demon.
And the thing is, sometimes well, he sucks. Sometimes he can actually be surprisingly, not shit.
Decent.
Decent. And on this track, honestly, I didn't mind him here. To be honest, I can say he fits well in this. He fits well in this. Although, of course, Thundercat doing this thing with, but of course, Flylo doing this thing as well, producing shit. But the basic thing is Greg looked annoyed, like you already had enough. The man your ex, which, oh shit. Okay, and I'm guessing how you got to deal with his lyrics, like, clear my schedule. You said like your movies, you bitch, down like you got a real job, bitch, not a real job. Taking those pics in a bra should Jenga schedule. Made plans twice and it's unsuccessful. So basically, Connor's going for being an OnlyFans model? Because that's what I get. Or Instagram model. I don't know. That's the way to scratch shit. That's what I'm getting here.
I'll say, like, instrumentally speaking, it's pretty much about what you would want from a Thundercat track. You know, it's got that exact kind of groove, the cool bass production, the synths and everything. I feel like Lil Yachty's presence really drags us down a bit. Just because, like, lyrically, Thundercat kind of does what he does on a lot of his songs, which is kind of like the typical trope of kind of ironically playing this weird a-hole trying to talk to women. I feel like he's done better, though, on songs like Friendzone. But then Lil Yachty comes in talking shit about OnlyFans models, and I'm like, I don't know, I think I'd rather be an OnlyFans model than Lil Yachty, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like, I can't believe I say this to you, it's like his verse on Broccoli by Drum. It's like, yeah, that's what reminds me of. That's what reminds me of. It's like, you got Drum doing this thing, it's like, he sounds very good. And then Lil Yachty, well, okay, it's not as bad as his verse in Broccoli, but still.
There's a song I haven't thought about in forever.
Yeah, again, 10 years.
Yeah, I'll just second that sentiment and say that, Yachty sure is here on this track, I guess. Wish we had more Thundercat on it, but hey, what can you do?
Yeah, we'll have to see how things shake out in the full album. Exactly 2 months. But that takes care of the new song discussions. Now we have a couple of news topics to touch on here. First up, since, festival announcements and stuff are well underway throughout the year, I suppose it would be right around the time for Kevin Lyman and company to actually start teasing out Vans Warped Tour. You'll remember last year when this all started, I was laying out, like, charts and fucking Excel sheets, cataloging everything week after week, because I thought it might have been interesting just to see how the announcements evolve over time. I have decided I'm not doing that this year because that felt like a lot of work for very little payoff. But I will at least plant the seed here with the initial announcements that we've been getting. So, first of all, the dates. Last year, we had 3 weekends of Vans Warped Tour. This year, it is 5 weekends in 3 countries, it looks like. So, we, of course, have June 13th through the 14th in Washington, D.C. at the festival grounds at RFK campus. Oh, God, those 3 fucking letters.
Don't worry, it's not that RFK. It's the older one who died 60 years ago.
You took the wrong Kennedy.
60 years prior, yes.
Wrong kid died.
But then there's, of course, the California date. So July 25th to the 26th, Long Beach at Shoreline Waterfront. Of course, Orlando, the furthest one out, November 14th to 15th at Camping World Stadium Campus. As for the other 2 dates on the list, we have August 21st to the 22nd in Montreal, Quebec at Parc Jean Drapeau. I should have looked up how to pronounce that. And then September 12th through the 13th. Oh, yeah, my roommate's birthday is that weekend. In Mexico City, Mexico at Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez. So, as for the actual announced artists, so far we have Jimmy Eat World playing all dates. Dance Gavin Dance playing DC, Florida, and Mexico. The Story So Far, playing DC, California, and Mexico. Newfound Glory, playing DC, Florida, and Mexico. Glassjaw, playing DC, California, Florida, and Mexico. Papa Roach, for some goddamn reason, playing California and Mexico. Wait, hang on. Were they in that Devil May Cry anime? I forget if they had something licensed for that.
I mean,
I know Limp Bizkit was. I know Evanescence was. But either way, that's where my brain was going. Like, if they were collecting royalties, if they were collecting that Dante money, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's why. Atreyu, who I'm pretty sure definitely weren't in that anime, so I'm not sure what their fucking relevance is in 2020 fucking six. They are, of course, playing Quebec and Mexico. And finally, Winona Fighter playing California and Mexico.
I play Mexico.
So yeah, this is where our lineup is starting. So we'll have to keep an eye out on any further announcements whenever we goddamn feel like it. But I feel like I could do better things with an Excel spreadsheet than make comments about, I don't know, bad deathcore bands from like 6 years ago.
Yeah, not much to say about this one. Maybe we'll have a larger festival to talk about soon. Preferably one that isn't run by Danny Wimmer, because they all just sort of blend together nowadays.
Yeah. But we'll, you know, obviously go back to that pin when we get to it. But now we move on to the other news topic we have, literally just breaking not too long ago. Y'all remember that Pharma douchebag that bought the Wu-Tang album? Yeah, I
continue to wonder why his face has not been caved in with several hundred thousand fists, but yes.
You know, I'm looking at the photo right now. I'm just going to say it. He looks like Neville Papperman from iCarly. Like, can't you just see that smug face going, "You'll rue the day, Carly Shay, you'll rue it!" Yeah, that anyway, so, maybe a lot of you forgot this because the universe has been through about 7 world-ending calamities since then. But yeah, he was some scamming pharma douchebag whose only relevance to the music world is the fact that for some reason, he decided to put down a lot of money on the once-in-a-lifetime album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, by the Wu-Tang Clan. Remember, only one copy of the album, auctioned for Big Bank, and it could not ever be played for the public. So he had bought the album in 2015, and then 2 years later, he was convicted of fraud, and he was forced to surrender the album to the federal government as part of the proceedings afterwards. The album got auctioned off in 2021 to a cryptocurrency collective. How does this story keep getting more layers of terrible?
Fuck, that's right.
But yeah, it was purchased by some group called Pleaser Dow for $4.75 million. This is about a year before Shkreli would get early release from prison. Why? Why would you do this? I feel like his face alone should warrant imprisonment for life. But anyway, that brings us to a couple years ago where they sued this fucking Shkreli douchebag, alleging that he made copies of Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, violating the agreement. And of course, because he's fucking bitch made as all hell, he's launching a countersuit, which apparently names not just RZA, but also his musical collaborator, Silva Rings. So, according to the countersuit, his original deal specified that 50% of the copyright for the record would be transferred to him in the year 2103, which, as the article notes, he would be 120 years old. Yeah, bullshit, dude. He's not even surviving to 50 without getting his, you know, fucking legs caved in like he must with the Italian mafia or something. But according to the rest of this, the cryptocurrency group Pleaser Dow paid RZA and Silver Ring $750,000 for that particular, you know, ownership stake, which Shkreli alleges amounts to a duplicate sale, essentially, quote, selling a total of 150% of the copyrights. According to Stephen Cooper, the lawyer for Pleaser Dow, quote, Mr. Shkreli's approach throughout has been to distract and delay with actions that the court has consistently and strenuously rejected. These counterclaims will meet the same fate. You know, it's really sad when the lawyer representing Crypto Bros kind of has a point.
This is stupid and terrible, and I just want somebody to be a hero and hack into wherever this mysterious album is held and just distribute it to everybody through the internet. Because at this point, you may as well.
And also, this is very for smoke cunt. You see him on here. I got it from one of the comments. And
yeah, I see it too. I see it too.
Like, my God, you just got to stop a mouth on this motherfucker.
I bet he smells his own farts. He seems like that kind of guy.
So, or sniff somebody else's farts. So basically like Aiden Ross that one time. And yeah, he did that shit.
Why does the entire existence of this whole album have to fuck it? You know, look, all due respect to Wu-Tang Clan, they have their place in the hip-hop world. At this point, I'm kind of annoyed at them for making this album in the first place, just because it set off the domino effect that forced this fucking shithead's name and face to occupy valuable brain space. I could be doing anything else with that brain space, but instead, he exists.
Yeah, and you know that doesn't go kind of like it, like even though none of us have heard of it, is it good? Like, and this is me listening to past Wu-Tang projects for the past few years, and they've been alright, but none the level of of their first few albums, but this one would be good. Like, we could be here till after I'm gone, or at least in jars, if that's still a thing anymore. Probably won't be.
But we'll, I don't know, I guess we'll keep an eye out on it if we don't got anything else to talk about that week. So that about does it for the new song discussion. Why did I say new songs? The news topics. That only leaves one more thing to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 6th, 2026. Starting at the top, if for some reason you still follow KMFDM, they have a new record out called Enemy. If you follow Pucifer, for some reason, they have their new album out, Normal Isn't. The much-anticipated new album from Carnivool with In Verses. Of course, we're finally getting the new Joji record, Piss in the Wind. There's J. Cole with his new album, The Fall Off. Not to be
speaking of Pissing in the Wind.
That's hilarious.
He also had a mixtape out?
Yeah, I guess apparently, he was trying to keep busy in the fucking frigid winds.
Yep.
And last, probably least, I don't know, I guess someone cares about this. There's a new Nick Jonas record, Sunday Best. I don't like that title. That sounds suspiciously Jesus-y. But that'll about do it for all that. So now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
All the usual places that I pop in every once in a while. Basically, if you find the show on one of those platforms, you've found it through there. So I'm there, and the internet's a terrible place. Don't go on it unless you want to watch funny cat videos or hear people cursing on live TV. That's also very fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on Blue Sky Multimedia and on my site, modelhype1.com. Hopefully this week I should be finishing my Quentin Tarantino retrospective, because I got because I'm writing about 12 movies. I talk about that are my top favorites. And the reason why I took this long because, well, it's either A, time, and B, well, I'm waiting for, you know, waiting for the latest dumb shit that he said to die down, because much like Tarantino, as a person, he's annoying as fuck.
Why has life got to be like this?
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us, the website on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky. Be sure to visit surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And of course there you'll find the link to the Discord server so you can chat this or that thing about, you know, anime or movies, etc. And always be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. So thank you for listening, you know, this week. We'll, of course, be back next week, hopefully, with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, hey, does anybody have $30 million lying around? I promise I'm going to use it for something really, really important. And definitely not to buy the Fresh Prince house.
What?